This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the mess?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
This love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles, coming to you at an altitude of 5,280 feet, where we hope to see you rise up to August 20th to 23rd. For Mile High 2020 Vision, and it's going to be the best place to be in August. www.milehigh2020.com is where you can get all the details. Today on our podcast, we have one of the speakers for Mile High that I am so thrilled to have on stage. He spoke at the first Mile High event, so it's great to have him come back in 2020. It's Judd Nogrady. After 10 years of active solo practice, Judd within 3 months opened 5 all-cash offices in and around New York City. Currently sees 300 practice members a day, specializing in infants and newborns. I really want to encourage you to come and see what he has to say at Mile High, but I'm going to be excited to see what he has to say now on the Mile High Podcast. Thank you for joining us, Judd.
Danny, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure. We're here from the East Coast, and we're at sea level here at the East Coast.
Yes, this is going from Mile High to sea level here. So I always love hearing what you have to say. Can you say something real quick about, you remember being here for Mile High 1. Can you say something about your experience back then, 8 years ago?
It was awesome back then, yeah. I mean, with basically the vibe at Mile High was awesome, and I was kind of a last minute speaker, if you remember the last time I spoke at Mile High. And it was just a wonderful experience. Got to hear a lot of different things, got to meet a lot of different people, and kind of got put on the spot to kind of give my best talk I could give.
And you did stellar. It was one of my favorite of the weekend for sure. Now, let's help people get to know you a little bit. People know you through Super Shubal Vision Elite and, you know, your contributions there. However, can you first, let's get a little bit to know you personally. How did you find your way into the chiropractic world?
I've been practicing about almost 25 years, 26 years. I found myself in the chiropractic world by being a chiropractic patient or a chiropractic client in my early 20s. And I became a chiropractor because chiropractic helped me when absolutely nothing else did. I was told by quite a few people in different professions of healthcare that said I would never work again, never function again, never be, be normal again, but never have a normal job. And chiropractic took my body, which wasn't working too well at that time, and I hope to say transformed me mentally and physically into the person I am today.
And then you found your way deciding that this is how I want to take care of people and change lives.
Yeah, I basically almost my very first adjustment as a client, I knew I was going to become a chiropractor.
Amazing. And then how did you happen to meet this strange guy, Liam Shubal?
I met Dr. Shubal. I met him almost out of the first week of chiropractic college in Marietta. And I met him because we used to have a thing called the Wailing Wall in Marietta.
I remember that.
Which means you'd go look at your grades and you would kick the wall, you'd wail if you got a bad grade. And we, our first class at Marietta, we was CPR, you know, life-saving. And I was basically a new student when I started chiropractic college. Dr. Sid, I had a personal interview with him to get into the chiropractic college. And he used a lot of my life experience instead of college experience to get me into life. So when I started in life, I had very little college experience. So when I went to the Wailing Wall, I saw a 75 on my CPR exam. I put my hands up in the air and screamed for joy. I knew I was in the right place. I passed. How I met Liam Shubal was that there was this tall, believe it or not, skinny-looking character next to me on the wall, kicking the wall and making this horrible face. And I looked over at him and I said, "Hey, dude, what's your problem?" And he said, "I got one wrong. I got a 98, and I changed my answer. I would have gotten 100. I knew it. Why did I change my answer? I never met him before. And I said to him, dude, we got 4 years of this. If you don't relax now, you're going to have a heart attack. You may be smart, but you're the dumbest smart guy I ever met. You're never going to graduate if you're worried about 1 point. I'm thrilled I got a 75. And then we joked about it, and we've been friends, and we studied all through chiropractic college, and we've been friends until this day, maybe 30 years.
Awesome. So now talk a little bit about practice. You practice where, and tell us about your practice.
I have two practices right now. One's out of my home, and the home-based practice is definitely a little smaller. And not an excuse, but I'm in a very out-of-the-way area. It's limited hours, and it's a little smaller because that's the way I want it. The other office I have is in a famous or infamous place right now in New York, if you look it up, called Curious Joel. That's the epicenter of the coronavirus. And that office is tremendously huge and getting busier during this coronavirus.
Okay. And in practice, let's talk about that right now. You're in New York, which is an epicenter of this. Colorado actually is too. New York is ranked higher, which is not a positive, that's a negative, but relative to this right now. What's it been like for people there? What's it been like in practice at this point?
Daniel, as you know, I mean, there's people who practice differently. So I'm friends with some chiropractors here. Some people who I call, you know, they're looking for the shiny object chiropractor. I know they're having a real hard time because they've always been into the sale, not the service. They're sales type. It's not even mixer or straight. There's chiropractors, right. I think, who are sale type chiropractors. When you're a sale type chiropractor where everything is making a sale, I've seen those people that are hurting because they're so dependent on new clients. They're so dependent on sales that when crises happen, they get big trouble. Right. I've always been a service first chiropractor. So the office in my house is definitely quieter because people aren't going to work. I think in my home office is night hours. People generally come after work. It's not a routine. But the office I have down near the other office is busier because those people, they know, number one, that chiropractic helps their immune function. It's not a latest fad for me. It's not something that I'm just all of a sudden going to market. Most of the people that when this started happening, I had many, many, many families call me and say, hey, we want to make sure we can get adjusted because we know that it helps. And that was without me sending anything to anybody. So what I've been doing there, it's like a MASH unit almost. We've been, because the health department was on my back a little bit. So we've been a bunch of different protocols to give people what they deem safe adjustments. But that office actually has picked up about 20%. Just with people that know me. We're not taking anybody new. So we're not taking any new clients, and we picked up about 20% because we just have clients that I haven't seen in a while. They're not even reactivations. They just want the care. They know, because that's all we've ever talked about. All we've ever discussed is how chiropractic enhances the body's function.
So, and that's what chiropractic is, right? So
yeah, now, I mean, I've never done anything else.
Yeah, I get it. Now in doing that and serving people, you said something very important. Sales versus service, okay? And I always have the mindset that if you serve, the sales will happen if you lead with the service, okay? Yeah. You don't have to worry about the sales. It will follow. What are some keys to being a service-oriented chiropractor?
Systems. And one of the things we teach at Supervision Elite is that the way our service is that exactly what you just said, Daniel. We have a day one, a day two, and a day three. By the time the day three comes and we discuss financial arrangements, most people, it's not a hard pressure. It's not a high pressure sale. And if the client doesn't want what we offer, that's also okay. But by explaining chiropractic and the power of chiropractic and how great chiropractic really is without sugarcoating it, people automatically, even after the first visit, generally want their families to start. So when you have the proper systems in place to educate people about chiropractic, the sale becomes the simple part. And it's always easy to educate them and give service. So I like the way we practice and the way we teach practicing because there's no stress involved and there's no high pressure involved and there's no latest shiny gimmick. The way I've been explaining chiropractic hasn't changed in 25 years. I'm not like worried about I know right now the new big thing is, I mean, to make sure you can get new people in. And the other office, actually, we can't even accept new people because we don't have any more room. So it's not about making this, you know, I really like the way this new technology is, like you and I are talking from New York to Colorado. And I really like how the web can get chiropractic out to people. But when you have an awesome office and a product like chiropractic, all this other stuff is just like icing on the cake. When you have good systems and you know what your chiropractic is, you don't really need a whole lot of advertising to flood the office.
If you focus on delivering the goods.
Delivering the goods. I mean, it's just, you can explain what it is and you have to back it up by giving a good adjustment.
Now, I'm sure that you've had some pretty powerful, impactful influences in chiropractic. So who are some people as you are learning chiropractic or maybe your first couple of years of practice that really maybe imparted some wisdom that influenced you?
In the very beginning in chiropractic, it was definitely Dr. Sid Williams. I've had to say a mentor who, you know, got us to understand that with our hearts and with our hands, we could change the world. And that was, you know, this people say good things about him and people say bad things about him. As a student there for 4 years, I was lucky or blessed or to have a personal relationship with him. And one thing that he always taught was that, you know, with your heart and with your hands, with a little education, you can change the world. And that's been my biggest mentor. I think later on in practice, I don't want these guys to hear it, but as far as practice alone, has to be Dr. Schubel and Dr. Frank Hahn, because I was always a very busy practitioner and maybe even too busy and wearing myself out a little bit. And these guys brought me some business principles that I had them, but it wasn't, these guys mastered service and they mastered the business principle. I think I've mastered service right from the get-go, but I was kind of burning myself out. So in the business end of things, Dr. Hahn, especially with his way he, the way he makes things more systematized, really helped me. And I think also talking to Irene Gold a couple of years ago, just got my service head back. It was a good balance between the service head and the business head. How's that?
Well, that's good. That's good. And that's an important thing to see in chiropractic. And I know that one of the things that people love about Mile High is that students can get exposed to people like you and get exposed to chiropractic principles. What do you see? What would you like to see for students to get more connected to chiropractic?
Well, I mean, the connection that I have for chiropractic, I don't wish on any student, but it's been a very traditional way, which is that if you get your body broken into a few pieces and you can't move, and chiropractic changes you emotionally, changes you physically, changes you spiritually, you never ever doubt chiropractic again. I just don't know that everyone should have or needs to have a life-changing experience to become a good chiropractor. But I think a lot of people don't realize how much we can help people. Right. So I think what students have to get, if they don't have that inner faith because they haven't lived through it, they have to get around chiropractors that routinely see people who really have serious problems. And I understand that, you know, the Objective Straight program, we're not supposed to talk about, you know, serious problems, but I'm what they call traditional straight. And how we were brought up in chiropractic is that you help people. You come in with an instant problem and those problems go away. And there's a lot of arguments between all different factions of chiropractic. And I think I'm right on the fence between being a traditional straight and being an objective straight. And an objective straight, I know that it's important just to adjust people just because. But damn it, I like to see big changes and I like to see people come in and tell me that it's the greatest thing in the world. It's not as much fun to me when they just say, yes, I understand, I'm asymptomatic, I'm here because my wife or my friend told me to get adjusted and you're checking for subluxation and I'm not supposed to argue with you and I want you to check my spine so I can be healthier. That's still a fun day, but nothing is more fun when a child has been told they're never going to function normally, never going to see properly, never going to breathe properly, never going to walk properly. They get under care and those things happen. And for me, that's been a matter of routine for 25 years. So I think students just have to identify with that. If anyone's telling them that chiropractic is anything short of a miracle, they're missing out.
I agree.
It's not about what you expect. It's not about, you know, mindset. It's that it's not like your intention is not going to make the person better in my mind. If you know how to deliver, you know how to analyze, detect, and then adjust or correct a subluxation, you're going to see huge changes in the office. But if you never look to get people that have major problems, then you're also never going to see any changes. Right now, we're about 50% of the people in the office have been there for a long, long time. So they're what they call maintenance type people. It is a less stressful way to practice, but I still love it. My favorite thing is when people come in and I hear this every week. Nothing you can do can help me. I'm only here because my friend sent me. Here's my list of junk. I've been checked by everybody. And I like that when they've been checked by everybody because it makes it easy for me. I don't have to worry so much about, you know, missing anything. Here's all my files. Here's all my records. I've been under care for 5 years with this guy. And here's the 12 medications I've taken. Here's the 7 surgeries I've had. And there's nothing you can do that's going to help me. I'm only here to get my neighbor or my wife or my friend off my back. And you get them under care and you tell them, listen, I'll make you a deal. You'll shut up and not aggravate me if you get better. And they say, great. And within a very short period of time, you see huge changes. And 90% of the time, that person comes back and says, "Doc, I don't know how the hell you knew, but man, I'm better. I don't know why they didn't tell me to do this first." That's what gets me flowing with chiropractic. I like the subjective straight care. Well, you know, it gets a little monotonous, just adjust, adjust, adjust. No, you know, great. I'm changing the universe, but I don't see it, and I don't take credit for it. It's kind of it's interesting, but it's not as much fun as being a traditional straight chiropractor and seeing some huge changes.
Well, I think it's important to celebrate victories. I think it's fun, important to celebrate wins, to celebrate when practice people feel better. And I also think it's important to put the credit to a name, you know, right?
Yes. So, oh, yeah. It's not us doing the healing. I know that.
Oh, yeah. I know you know that.
It's just fun to see changes. It's just fun to see people crazy excited. It's fun to see people who are really, really – I'm a New Yorker, so you get a lot of arrogant people, big attitude, and not like these California people or these – people from Colorado that are pleasant. We got a real arrogant crowd out here.
Right.
So nothing makes you happy to have these real arrogant characters come in and completely change their attitude about what you do and who you are.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And so now I know you were critically involved with the Schubel Vision Holy Grail of Business. You were involved with that project. I also know you're involved with many businesses, many different businesses that you're engaged with. How has this crisis or circumstance impacted those businesses?
Well, you do your homework, man. I don't usually talk about the other things I do other than chiropractic. Well, in chiropractic, I have two main, I hate the word businesses, two main interests. And those two main interests are my two offices and Schubel Vision Elite. The offices I run, one is busy, one is extraordinarily busy. That's the two offices that I practice in. I'm the sole doctor in each office. And the other thing I do in chiropractic is Schubel Vision Elite. And Schubel Vision Elite is I have two partners, Dr. Liam Schubel and Dr. Frank Hahn. I completely respect them because they have the business model down set, and they also have the service model down set. Teaming up with them for me to learn some stuff about chiropractic was the smartest thing I ever did. Schubel Vision Elite is a web-based group, and I think what makes us a little special, a little different, is that we have every single thing that you need to know as a chiropractor is on video. And it's not just pre-done video with a doctor and a patient that's in a setting. It's also done lives. We have lives where you can actually hear a doctor go through the same thing with a patient over and over and over again. You could, if you do nothing but sit at the website for a couple of days, you could learn how to start people and be a successful chiropractor, which I think is amazing. And what I've been doing during this downtime with SVE is I've been working on a book or a manual that goes with it, because we have some people that I'm over 50, so they say the old timers, you know, over 50, and I have some people that don't do the internet a lot. So what I've been doing for SVE is making a manual and a book that's all the information in book form that they could go along on the internet and watch. And I'm completely sold on this video learning, because a lot of people have called me and said, you know, you did it for me personally, and I was embarrassed to ask you the same question 10 times, but I went on the video. And I just click and stop and rewind, click and stop and rewind. Then I start my wife. My wife watches the video. She tells me what I did wrong or did right. Then I watch myself. It's just SVE is the greatest way to learn to be a chiropractor that I've ever figured, that I've ever seen. I didn't figure the whole thing out. I've just been really helping out, getting all the stuff onto video and all the things done.
And it's incredible to have a home study course so people can learn from home virtually. Yeah. Which makes them more abundant, and more abundant is service, serving more people.
They have a home study course, and they have a Facebook group, that group that goes with SVE. So if they have questions, they can go with like-minded chiropractors on Facebook. We don't have any, and people, the greatest thing for me, the group is it's not supposed to be a business. It's that we've had multiple chiropractors go that were failing. We've had people that were going to drop out, and forget that they've been huge financial success. These chiropractors have gone on to really be big chiropractors with seeing a lot of people and making a change in people's lives. So, you know, of course you have to make them a little more financially viable, but more importantly to me is that I like that the doctor makes money, but I really like the doctor stays in business and starts helping people. And being a mission-based, that's all the businesses I run are mission-based. And mission-based is that you care about the service. That service is the mission. And you said, how are things going during the coronavirus and all the problems we're having here? All the businesses that I run, one of our missions has always been the health of the doctor or the health of the person running the business. Their mental health and their physical health has always been the number one priority. Because you can always make money. And you know, Danny, I mean, you know about having health, how important it is. And is that you can always make money with the education that we have and the entrepreneurial spirit that we have, you can always make money as long as your brain works well and your body's healthy. So everything that I've ever been involved in, the most important thing is not making money. Making money is the easy part. The most important thing is that the person who's running that business has good mental health and good physical health. When you have those two things, all you got to do is find somebody to help you. All you got to do is put your time and talents into doing work, and you'll always be successful. So the corona hasn't changed any of the businesses that I run, because we always had the first goal was to stay healthy and mental and physical health and long run. The other thing that I do is I run a farm, and the farming business has not really been affected at all because we do organic produce, and the season is just starting right now. So everything's over the internet. So we're totally, it's not a big business. It's not in the business in some ways doesn't make any sense to be in dollars and cents wise, but it keeps some people employed, and it grows a lot of fresh vegetables, and it hopefully it'll grow a little bigger, and then it'll become a little more financially savvy to run. The other business that I run is also, it's booming, which is the housing. And in housing, I have a crew, and we do rental houses, we do renovations, and we do flip houses, and we build brand new houses. And right now the coronavirus has put a little bit of a problem with us because we're only allowed one man on each job site. But we really got a schedule going out. We have one guy doing the job. It's almost like an assembly line house building. So the houses aren't going up quite as fast, but because people are coming out of New York so much, we have a waiting list right now for our houses. So the other business that I run, the housing business, is actually booming. I mean, really booming. And my partner's there. I wish I would quit being a chiropractor and go full time into housing, which I just will not do. But as far as making a lot and being very successful in that, we've always been known for that we build quality homes. That we build quality homes, either we build very expensive homes, we build very reasonable homes, but the quality craftsmanship is still there. So we are known for we do good work no matter what kind of house we build. And we have people coming out at all price points coming out of the woodwork.
So there's a very important lesson here that I'm hoping our listeners understand. There are two things. One is, I heard a thread that was through all those different business entities, which is quality and service, which is business principle, not germane just to chiropractic, right? It's everything in business. But then the second thing that I heard was that, wow, you mean you see all these people and you have these other things going on. You can only do that if you have systems dialed in.
Systems and good partners. I have one of the business that if I had to name one, that's like my heart set, and it's almost mirrors chiropractic, and that's why I like it. It's completely different, but it's a very similar service. And I own a garage. It's not a gas station because we don't sell gas, but we have a service station. And the service station is very near and dear to my heart. And actually, Dr. Schubel is not involved so much in the actual running the station, but the guy who is my partner in that station came from Mexico about 12 years ago. And the reason why Dr. Schubel's involved, Aleem's involved, was that Aleem and I were on vacation in Mexico. We met this guy when our rental car broke down. And this guy was the friendliest, nicest, most qualified mechanic I ever met. I can work on vehicles, but this guy knew more than I've ever even thought about knowing. And we were in Mexico, and this guy expressed his interest. He was just, at that point, he didn't speak any English. He was speaking Spanish to Aleem, and I was just kind of trying to figure out what they were saying. And what he was saying is how excited he was that he met Americans. He wanted to come to America where we help him. And something people don't know about Liam, sometimes he gets a reputation about being a hard guy. Oh, but Liam helped this guy get his visa, helped him get his green card, helped him come to America legally, got him his paperwork, got him hooked up with an immigration lawyer. And lo and behold, this guy came to New York. And him and I have now owned a service station together for the last 5.5 years. Now, the reason it's so near and dear to me is that service station is the same thing. It's mission-based. Our mission was to provide reasonably priced transportation for people, period. So our clientele, we're inner city. This is not a posh service station. This is an inner city service station that's absolutely busy, cranking out the door. Now, one of the things that's so interesting about it is that when this, I don't want to keep saying the word corona. I hate this corona word. When we started having some business trials, let's just say, some business issues, one of the things that happened in the garage is that my partner started getting 1 million people calling him to coach him in the garage business. And like the chiropractic business, there is 1 million coaches. I think there's more chiropractic coaches right now than there is chiropractors in the garage business, there's a million coaches. There's a million of them. I mean, they want to coach you on everything. And the only thing a little different than in the garage business in the chiropractic world is that the garage guys, that there has been a decrease over the last 5 or 6 years of self-service patients. People have gone to dealerships. So the guys that are left are either doing really well or going out of business, but we all stick together. So my partner, who's only been in the country, you know, let's say 10 years, he was really influenced by all these coaches calling him and meeting him and dropping in. And what I kept telling him is you have to get the background of these coaches before you go with a coach. And so we had this one guy calling us. And I finally came down to the station. I said, let me talk to the guy. And I, of course, before I talked to the guy, I did some background checking on him. And the background checking is, oh, he's been in the garage business, but every garage he's been involved with went out of business. So he's decided being a coach is better than being a garage guy. And, you know, one of the sales is that he opened 7 garages in 5 years, except when you check, everyone he opened the garage with is out of business. So I brought all these things to his attention. He tried to explain to me that as a coach, he was more valuable as a coach. He wasn't worth being in the garage as much. And the thing about this that makes sense to chiropractic is I had to talk my partner down off the ledge that, like, you know, no, we're not going to go out of business without getting this guy on. There is some great programs in the service station industry that show you how to do things better. Most of them are around the service, though. They show you different services and better ways to work on vehicles and better equipment. So that's a big difference than the sales guys that come in. The sales guys that come in try to teach us how to, like, we could charge extra for work that we don't even do. And we can charge for, like, it's a scam. There's a bunch of sales guys in the garage business that want to show you how to make your garage make more money. That's their only goal without providing any extra service. It's all scam. And that's just, and they don't even pretend not to be. And the way I've always told the guys is if you want to make better money in the garage business, provide a superior service and provide a better service. So we're really known in the garage that we do engines. We do really intricate, difficult work. And we do a lot of Audi work. I know that's close to your heart.
Yep.
And so people, hey, my Audi's out of warranty. Where do I go? We go to our garage. And a lot of the Audi guys come into the inner city. They're like, dude, this place, I'm going to get killed. You sure you're not going to steal my car? But then we're the only guys that can get their Audi running right, and then they love us. So what I've learned with this business in the garage, it's not anywhere the same as chiropractic, but in so many ways, there's so many similarities. And the same thing in the garage business, how we're dealing with it right now, the same thing I did in my chiropractic offices. We emailed all of our clients, and we explained to them, hey, we know there's issues going on. Can we do things to make it easier for you? If you're nervous about dropping the car off because you're worried about getting sick, can we come get the car for you? We make special times for you. We have hundreds of, they're called PM clients, same as chiropractic. They're preventive maintenance clients, people who have many cars, people that have fleets. And we said, hey, we know it's tough right now, but when things get going again, don't you want all your vehicles in top-notch shape? We'll bill you in 90 days if you want. But let's get all these vehicles in there to get all this PM maintenance done during the downtime. So this garage is doing maybe 30 to 40% better during this trial time because we actually stepped up our, not new clients, we stepped up on talking to our old clients. I had the guy in the garage go talk to people that, it's the same thing as chiropractic. And what happens is that when there's a little bit of trouble in the air, you can't get yourself crazy. You just have to realize you know what you do, you're an expert, explain to people how you're gonna help them, then do it. My partner, because he's only had his own business 5 years. He's like a newbie chiropractor, even though he's right. A garage guy. So everything to him is new. Some guy came and gave him this shiny object. It's new. We got to do this done. I said, dude, we can't even accept the people that we have. What are you listening to this coach for? I said, then when I had him come in and his English is good, better than my Spanish would be after 5 years. But when he started really seeing the person for who he was and that he didn't even have his own garage or he wasn't even successful, he realized that he'd been sold because the guy, after all, is a professional salesman. And as a business owner, I don't want to be a professional salesman. I want to be a professional service person. I want to be the best at what I do, regardless of the business that I'm in. I've never worried about how much money I'm going to make. I've always worried primarily about my own health, being healthy, being happy, being able to physically function. Because if I can't do those things, I can't run any business. 2, I'm worried about the people who work for me and work with me, that they're happy, their needs are being met, and they like doing what they do. And 3, I want to make sure all my clients, no matter what service we're giving them, not only are happy, but we're over-promising. You know, we deliver more. We don't, a lot of people love to overpromise and underdeliver. I like to overdeliver and underpromise. And that's the name of the game in the service business. Don't hype what you do. Just do what you do. Those five businesses are keeping me busy enough. And I'm not writing any new books right now at this time other than the SD manual. And anyway, I don't want to get carried away. I get carried away with business because it's just so much fun. The same thing with the garage business. The same thing as chiropractic. People come in all the time, tell me all the stories, how they've been ripped off and the car still doesn't run. Then the guy works on it for 2 hours. We give him a reasonable bill and the car runs perfectly. It's very much like chiropractic. The same kind of characters that are in chiropractic are in the garage businesses. And we just keep doing well because we're known as the only honest garage in town, which is pretty sad. It's a sad thing that we're well known because we're honest. That's all I can tell you.
That's a sign in service. I mean, all you're talking about is service industries. And when you're focused on actually delivering quality work, people become your best marketers and advertisers, the people you take care of.
Yeah, we started not too long ago doing these Facebook ads and stuff, and they're awesome. You know, there is a lot to be said about electronic advertising, but some of them we can't even take it. We're gonna have to open more spots because it fits icing on the cake. It's not the cake; it's the icing on the cake.
Excellent. Well, I'm grateful for all you do. I'd like to ask one last question because we're running out of time, but this is, I think, a vital one. I'm sure you work through SV, Shubal Vision Elite, with lots of chiropractors, and you also have worked with probably lots of associate doctors in different areas over the years.
Yep.
What is a key quality you see with the doctors or associates that separate the ones that do extraordinary and ones that not so much?
The one thing I would say is people have the attitude that they want to serve. There's people who want to go home at 5 o'clock, and there's people who don't want to go home until they understand the idea. People who are leaders, not followers. A lot of people think that to get an associate or get someone to work for you is you want them to just say yes, sir, a lot. And that's not what I look for at all. I look for people who are hungry, that you know, if you're worried about anything, is that they're going to run a business next door to you. And you have to make it good enough for them, they don't leave you because they're hungry to be successful. And the guys that work in the garage, I mean, it will only be a number of years before he opens another garage without me because he's hungry. Something comes in for work at 5 o'clock, he stays till midnight to get it done. He's not looking at the clock. So the one thing I look for people is they're hungry. And another thing, if there's a bunch of characteristics I love about people who are in business for themselves, is that people who weren't raised with a lot of the time, they have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder to prove that they're good, and they have a burning desire to be useful in the world. And if they're chiropractors, they have a burning desire to show chiropractic how great it is. They're not clock watchers, they're not looking for shiny objects, they're willing to do the work. People that show they want to have a good can-do attitude and leadership qualities are the people you want to get with.
Excellent. Well, again, super grateful for all that you're sharing. And this has got me thrilled for you presenting at Mile High. I've got to tell you that. So remember, Judd O'Grady is going to go from sea level to Mile High in August. He's going
to
help.
I'm going to have to hold my head practice. And make sure I survive.
August 20th to 23rd. Mile High 2020. Reserve your seats at www.milehigh2020.com. And wow, I remember how much we enjoyed having you at Mile High 1. So Mile High 8, it's going to be even better. We look forward to seeing everyone there. Thank you for taking the time, Judd. And we will see you all on higher ground.